Good morning, Ray. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Dude, I live by the mantra, share your story or someone will write it for you. For all of these years, we have read everybody else's stories. We have watched it on ESPN and PRN. And now, for the first time, we get this book where I get to sit in my reading chair. And it's like you came over to my house and you're talking to me through this book.
Thank you. That is a huge compliment. And I appreciate that because that was one of the biggest goals that I set out for that book. I wanted people to be able to sit there and read the book and hear me telling the story, like personally to them. So thank you for saying that.
Well, it's like we already know what went on in history, racing history, but you give us that behind the scenes look and the experience. That's the part I love, is that experience of what you went through.
You know, when I wrote the book and decided to write it, I knew that I needed to really be honest about it because that was the whole thing. Because people perceive, you know, you play this character, right? You're this guy that everyone thinks is so confident and so prepared, you know, and deep down inside, you struggle with the same things that everyone else is, but you go forward, you know, whether that comes from some encouragement from other people or example somebody's set from you or just a desire to do it. But there's days, you know, like, I made some changes and did some things that I was just scared to death to do, but I knew I had to do them. And the only way that I was going to go forward was to take the responsibility to do it the best I could.
Let me ask you this. When you say that you live on the edge like that, I mean, I had a doctor tell me that I am addicted to excitement. Do you find yourself being that way as well? You've got to live for that excitement.
I think so. I don't know that that's a bad thing. You know, I would tell your doctor, you know, if your doctor says you're addicted to it, or are you just experiencing it? I think that people that refuse to do that never really get to experience the full gift of life that we lead. And I think if you're continually challenging yourself, I really would. I always say, hey, jump out of an airplane and build a parachute on the way down. I don't think I would do that. But, look, if it's not going to kill you or hurt you, then do it, because you'll figure it out. And until you experience that, to me, those are the things that give us that gift of life and build that confidence.
Yeah. The name of the book is Trophies and Scars. So now I've got to ask you, T-Rex, was it a trophy or a scar? Because to us fans, I think it is a visionary at work.
Yeah, the T-Rex, the legend gets bigger every year, old T-Rex, it's just so funny, the car's grown. It really was a great race car, no doubt about it. But I think that, it scared a lot of people. It was well within the rules. I tell the story in there about after the race, having to pick up the phone and call Mr. Hendrick, we had a little problem. The bottom line is it was good for the sport. The story of it, it's really, as I said, grown to be its own urban legend. It was a great race car, but it also had a great race driver at the height of his career. I think if anybody else but Jeff Gordon would have been driving T-Rex that night, it might have still been legal. But Jeff decided the car was good and he was just going to put everybody else to shame. And he ran laps that were almost a full second faster than the field, and NASCAR said, like, whoa, we cannot have this.
Speaking of Jeff, he wrote the foreword for this book. What a great decision to do that, because we all love Jeff Gordon and everything that your team put together on that track.
Well, Jeff and I are still close. Honestly, we do a lot together. We talk a lot about his new position at Hendrick, being vice chair there. He's doing a great job with that organization. So the three people that I feel very important to my career that I have a ton of respect for, Jeff, Mr. Hendrick, and Roger Penske. And I was honored that all three of them wrote introductions for me, because without those three guys have been part of my life, I really wonder would I have had the know-how, the ability to move forward, the confidence to take on challenges.
With your skills and your craftsmanship, and I love the way that people are complimenting you because of the way that you think, your mind, do you see your style and your decisions in other people's cars, such as like Jimmy Johnson? There are so many times I went, oh, no, that's a Ray car. Ray did that first. Ray did that.
Well, Chad Knaus was one of my Rainbow Warriors, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of the Rainbow Warriors are still at Hendrick or spent a lot of time at Hendrick. And I look back and think, okay, Chad took a lot of things that he learned from me and made them better and became a great leader himself. Oh. So I'm really happy, pleased when I look at my crew chief tree, if you will. You know, some of the guys who work for me and with me have gone on to very successful careers, you know, in other areas. And now the technology has changed. The tools specifically have changed so much on how we build these cars that I see some of our safety and some of our philosophy into going in a car, but wow, they've changed a good bit in the last 30 years.
Wow. With racing evolving the way that it does, I can't imagine what a board meeting with you would be like when you get in there on a Monday and saying, okay, we got the next track. We've got to make some changes, because you had to know what that track was going to be about before the rest of us got the story.
Yeah. And, you know, they still do, you know, like again, you know, the teams do that. Now they have war rooms and the data. It's still about collecting the data, mm-hmm. right? Collecting the data and then, you know, processing it and using it to make a decision. And still the leader has to make the decision because you got so much data now. But if you can find the right way to use the data that you're getting, you'll get to the solution quicker than your competition. And right now, that's the way to win these races.
Yeah. What is it about the world of NASCAR where everybody is complimenting everybody, the sponsors, the team players? I wish more businesses would really study that right there when it comes to success.
Well, I think you've got to certainly thank the people that are helping you. But, you know, me, I've always, you know, I don't want the drivers complimenting each other. I want the little, you know, Dale Earnhardt, Jeff Gordon rivalry was good for the sport. You know, the Allison Petty rivalry, good for the sport. We need a little bit of rivalry now, rivalry in a fair way, in a good way, you know, because Jeff and Rick, or Jeff and Dale would just, they'd go fishing or do whatever together. But then, you know, they sold a lot of t-shirts and got a lot of viewers because of their rivalry on track. So, you know, there's some great young stars that we have out there right now with the Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney's and Christopher Bell and Kyle Larson, William Byron, you know, like great, great guys. I mean, I want to see him. I want to see him be a little bit more, have a little bit more rivalry.
Wow. I'll tell you what, one of my favorite things of being on the infield of the Charlotte Motor Speedway was watching those teams in action in the pits. Oh my God. Just the speed and the focus. I mean, you guys really knew how to play the game and still know how to do it.
Yeah, well, back then when I first started, you know, there wasn't a lot of focus put on really athletic training and pit stops, things like that. The mechanics were the guys who pitted the car. And, you know, I thought to myself, geez, we're working 12, 14, 16 hours a day. These guys don't have any time to pit practice. You know, they're tired. How can we do that? And I went to Mr. Hendrick with an idea, and I needed extra budget, right? Because, you know, headcount and whatever. And Rick believed in the idea that we had and allowed me to go out and hire some specific guys to pit the race car. And right, that was the beginning of what we see now. And, you know, now everybody does it. But again, those, you know, the Wood brothers really worked on the fast pit stop and Petty. So it wasn't like we reinvented the wheel. We just took a great idea and made it a little bit better by, you know, by looking at the pit crew guys as athletes. And it's no different than the Olympics, right? Every year people are running faster, jumping higher, doing those things. And it's all because of that human element. And that's where we're at with pit stops right now.
When you've got the Rovo taking place here in Charlotte, as well as these man-made for the weekend dirt tracks, can you imagine being a part of that action? Or how do you even train for something like that when it changes?
Again, that ability to adapt, to evolve, to think out ahead, to find a way to, you know, what's really tough as the sports evolve, you used to be able to figure out a way, find a way, dig down something, get an advantage. Now everybody's so good and can adapt to things so quickly, it's hard to find that advantage.
Oh my God. Ray, you got to come back to this show anytime in the future. Either that or we need to meet over there at the Charlotte Motor Speedway and just have lunch up there and just look at that dang track.
Hell yeah, call me. We're in and out of Charlotte a good bit now. We work with the folks from SMI a little bit there, become a good friends with Marcus Smith.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you be brilliant today, okay, sir? Thank you.
Thank you very much.